Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Samach Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin from the very end of Daf Samach Amud Beis. The bottom line, the topic here concerns the signs of kashrus that are on birds. Simone ho'oif loy nemru. We had seen in the Mishnah, it had mentioned that the signs of kashrus, as opposed to animals, behemos, where the Torah speaks about malas gera and mafresis parsa, the chewing of the cud and the split hooves, when it comes to birds, the Torah doesn't mention body characteristics or physical characteristics of a bird delineating which ones are kosher. Now, the Gemara asks a question, and this is a long question. It basically takes in a Tanaic source. So you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a kuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, which extends till the upper part of Daf Samach Aleph, which also contains a Tanaic source, which is delineated by the framed section. In our Gemara markings, we attempt to frame off Tanaic sources so as to set them apart from the rest of the Gemara. Let us now start the Gemara. The Gemara asks, Veloy, is it so that the Torah did not give us signs of kashrus for identifying kosher birds? Vaha Tanya. But we have the following Tanaic source, which opens with the word Nesher. Nesher is a quote from the Pasuk in Sefer Vayikra and Parsha Shmini, where the Torah speaks about the kosher and unkosher variety creatures. It mentions a list of birds that one is not allowed to eat. Amongst them is the Nesher. For our purposes, it's not essential to offer translations, because in our Gemara markings recordings, we don't want to take the responsibility for authentic translations of things that we don't necessarily have a strong tradition on. So we'll simply refer to these birds by the name that the Gemara or the Pasuk refers to them. The Pasuk mentioned that one is not allowed to consume the Nesher. Ma Nesher Miyuchad. And here the Braisa enumerates the characteristics of the Nesher. And once the Torah says, don't eat the Nesher, so I then have signs of what is not kosher. So the Pasuk, the Braisa says, Ma Nesher Miyuchad. She'ein loy etzba yesera v'zefek v'ein kukavonoi niklaf v'doreis v'ochel, and it's tome. You can see that the Brisa enumerates four characteristics that the Nesher has, and they are: number one, it has ein lo etzba yesera, it doesn't have the extra protrusion or extra toe that extends from the back of its leg, and it doesn't have a zefek. Zefek is one of the organs of digestion of a bird. And the third is the ein kukavona niklaf, the kukavon, which is another one of the digestive organs of the bird. It's not peelable, and it's doreis viochel. The style of eating is that it holds down its food with its foot while it picks up the food that it's eating, as we saw Rashi describe in the Mishnah. And with those characteristics, we know it's tome, it's unacceptable, it's an unkosher variety bird. So the Braisa goes on to say, Af kol kayotze bo tome. So to any bird that is like that, you can rest assured that it's unacceptable. Before going on in the Gemara, let us take a look at the Rashi at the top. Nesher huzkar batameim. The Nesher is mentioned amongst the tome, the unacceptable varieties of birds. V'donin binyan av hemenu. And we derive our rules from it. Dema nesher miyuchod de'ein lo echod mikol hasimonim halalu v'tomei. The nesher has none of the signs of kashrus. And as a result of that, the having no signs of kashrus, it's tomei. Af kol she'ein lo echod mikol hasimonim halalu. Min nesher hu v'tomei. So to any other bird that has none of the signs of kashrus is a type of nesher and unacceptable. Aval oif sheyesh bo echod mikol elu. However, a bird that has one of these signs, tohor, we can say it's acceptable. V'kol shekein shnayim u'shlosha oy kulam. And certainly a bird that has two or three or certainly all of these signs will certainly be kosher. Chutz me'ofrosim u'froshim b'parsha. Except for the birds that are enumerated in the parsha. In the Torah, you find more than 20 birds that are enumerated as being unacceptable. And it's worth noting that there are two parshas in the Torah. One is in Sefer Vayikra, in Parsha Shmini, and the other is in the book of Dvorim, in Parshas Re'eh. In both of those parshas, there are lists of unacceptable, unkosher variety birds. And Rashi goes on to say, Shigzeros HaKosov Hu, it's a ruling of the Torah. Shafapi Shiesh Bohen Simin Tara, even though those birds, besides the Nesher, that are enumerated in the Torah's lists, even though those birds have one or more signs of kashrus, nevertheless, it's what's called Exeris HaKosov, it's a heavenly ruling that one is not allowed to eat those birds. Kid Omar LeKamon. They're temeim. V'hai af, in this brisa, the second line at the end, the word af was appeared. It's an af kol kayutzei bo tamei. Lo marbi elo min nesher. It's coming to include only things that are nesher, of nesher quality or nesher category. Di'ein oif tamei ba'olam elo chof dalad ho amurim kan. Rashi is telling us something very profound, which we can derive from the Gemara as well, is that there are no tome birds in the world except for the 24 that the Torah enumerates. Because there are hundreds of different varieties of birds in the world, and only 24 are not kosher, so the Torah took the shortcut and enumerated those which are unacceptable. Ubahanach chof dal aminon is behu bekulu simone taro chutz min anesher. And of those 24, with the exception of the nesher, they all happen to have a sign of kashrus. The only thing is that the Torah tells us don't eat them. However, any other bird that's not one of the 24, and of course we're assuming that one can identify the 24, which is not something that we can actually do today, and that's also a function of our not having a constant tradition as to what each one of them are. But in theory, if you could identify the 24 birds mentioned in the Torah, and you come across another bird in the world, you can eat it, because that other bird is going to have one of the kosher characteristics that we just saw in the Braisa, and it's not one of the 24. Therefore, it would be kosher, it's acceptable. And everything we're saying, of course, is in theory, because practically speaking, the practical halacha, the applied halacha, is a different story altogether. But in the context of our Gemara markings Shiurim, we don't delve into the practical application of the Gemaras. That's another area of pursuit. Let us now continue with the Tanaic source. We are on the third line in the middle, Torin. The Torah mentions Torim as being an example of a kosher bird. And what do you find in the case of the Torim? One, Sheesh Lahan Etzbayasera, they have that extra protrusion from the back of its leg. The Zefek, they have that organ of digestion. The Kurkavan Niklaf, and the Kurkavan is peelable. The Ein Dorsin V'Ochlin, Tahorim. Af Kol Kayotse Bohen Tahorim. So to anything that's like the Torim. And here we have to explain, when we say like the Torim, it means anything that has one of the four simonim that the Torim have, the Torim being a type of kosher variety bird. So any other bird that has one of those characteristics will be kosher. Of course, provided it's not one of the 24 that the Torah lists as being prohibited. At this point, though, you see at the end of the line, we have a question mark. And that's because the Mishnah had insisted on that birds don't have, the Torah doesn't tell us simone kashrus by birds. The question here is that, well, the Torah does tell us that one should not eat a nesher. And we know that the nesher has none of these four signs of kashrus. So the Torah does, in effect, convey the signs of kashrus. The Gemara answers, Omar Abaye, lo nemar pirushon midivrei Torah, elo midivrei sofrim. The Torah doesn't give an explicit definition of the signs or description of the signs. It just mentions nesher. We, in analyzing the nesher, come up with these signs. That's called divrei sofrim. The rabbis, in analyzing the nesher, came up with these four characteristics. This is in contrast to behemos, where the Torah says specifically physical behavior or characteristic signs of kashrus, the chewing of the cud and the split hooves. That level of definition of clarity you do not have by the birds as far as the psukim are concerned. And that's what was meant by saying that the birds were lo nemar bohen simone kashrus. Toni Rebbi Chiya. Rebbi Chiya presents us with a Tanaic source. Oif habo besimen echod tohor, a bird that shows up with one sign of kashrus is acceptable if she'ein doime lenesher, because it's not like the nesher. And now we elaborate. Nesher the less leklal hu delo techo. The nesher, which has none of the four signs of kashrus, is that which one is not allowed to eat. We can infer ha iko de is lechad techo. However, a bird that has one, even one of these signs, you can eat. As we look on in the Gemara, we now encounter a new geometric form, the house form. It's one of our series markings. And in the outside margin of our Gemara, we've written under the Mivneh heading. The Mivneh is a structural note. We featured a house marking, and we've written Sidro Shel Kushios Neged Rebbi Chiya. We'll have a series of questions to challenge Rebbi Chiya's teaching. Rebbi Chiya, just to review the point, said, we learn from the Nesher. The Nesher has no signs of kashrus, and that's what's forbidden. However, a bird that has one sign of kashrus, even one sign of kashrus, you can eat. The Gemara asks, the Leilif mitorin, why not use as the precedent the Torin in order to establish kashrus? And say as follows, Ma Torin deiko kulhu arbo, just like the Torim have all four signs of kashrus, and you can eat the Torin, af hochinami adiko kulhu arbo. So too, with regard to all other birds, if you want to know whether it's kosher, it's not going to be acceptable until it has all four signs, just like the Torim. The Gemara answers, Im Kain, if it were so that you need all four signs, Sha'ar oifois temeim de kosav rachmono lomali, why did the Torah bother giving us a list of all the other birds that it lists off when they would be obvious as not being kosher insofar as they don't have all four signs of kashrus? Those other birds that the Torah lists off in Parshas Shmini and in Parshas Re'eh, they may have a couple of signs of kashrus, but they don't have all four. So the fact that the Torah mentions the other birds, it shows us that the Torah does not insist on having all four. The Gemara asks, "Venelaf minaihu?" Why not say that we are to learn from the other birds that the Torah enumerates as being unkosher? And how would we go about learning from them? As follows, "Ma hosam tloso v'lo achlinon." Just like those other birds that are listed in the Torah, most of them happen to have three signs, and we don't eat them. Af kol tloso v'lo nechol. So to any other bird that has just three, you cannot eat. V'kol shekein trei v'chad, and certainly birds that have only two or one sign of kashrus, that they would not be acceptable. So why not follow this approach? Just to review it, let us use all the majority of the list of birds that the Torah lists as unkosher as a precedent setter. They happen to have, most of those birds happen to have three signs of kashrus, and that's not enough. So to any other bird that you run into that has three signs of kashrus, that's not enough. The Gemara answers, Im kain orev dekosav rachmona lomali. The orev is a name of a bird, and it happens to have two signs of kashrus. The Gemara is now answering the last house question. Let's read the Gemara again. Im kain, if it were so that I would be learning from the other birds, as we say, the majority of the list of birds that the Torah mentions, which have three signs, and they are not kosher, why does the Torah bother even mentioning the orev? Hashto de'isle t'losa lo achlinon. Now that you've got even three signs of kashrus, the Torah tells you cannot eat. The isle trei mibaya, something that has only two signs, would I have to tell you that you cannot eat it? So we say, from the fact that the Torah troubles itself to write the orev, that shows me that in general, I don't need all four signs, and one sign of kashrus would be enough. The Gemara asks, "Velelef mi orev?" Why not use the orev as the precedent setter? Ma hosam trei lo, just like the orev, which happens to have two signs of kashrus, two of the four characteristics that we've listed before, and you cannot eat it. Af kol trei lo, so too, anything that has just two signs of kashrus would not be enough. The Gemara answers, Im kain, if in fact I would accept this suggestion of learning from the orev, Peres v'ozniya dekosav rachmona lomali. These are names, Peres and Ozni are names of two types of unkosher variety birds that happen to have one sign of kashrus. The Peres has one sign, the Ozniya has one sign. Why did the Torah bother telling me about them? If I'm in fact going to learn, like the suggestion that we just had in the house, learn from the orev, I would end up saying, Hashto de isle trei lo achlinon, something that's got two signs of kashrus you cannot eat, de isle chad mibaya, something that has only one sign, would I need to tell you that you can't eat it? And yet the Torah does tell me about Peres and Ozniya. Therefore, I would conclude that I'm not going to learn from the orev. The orev is not going to be the precedent setter. The Gemara asks, V'nigmar miperes v'ozniya. Why not learn from them and come to the conclusion that one sign of kashrus is not enough? Just like the Peres and Ozniya are birds that have one sign of kashrus and they're not allowed, so too, the presence of one sign of kashrus is not enough. Which, of course, is a challenge to what we hold. We say that one sign is enough. The Gemara answers, I'll tell you why I don't learn from Peres and Ozniya to say that one sign is not enough. In Kenesher de Kosav Rachmona Lomali, why does the Torah bother writing concerning the prohibition of nesher? We know the nesher has no signs of kashrus. If I were learning from the Peres in Ozniyah, then hashto de islei chad lo achlinon, the Peres in Ozniyah that happen to have one sign of kashrus, and yet I do not eat from them. The less lay klal mibaya, something that has no sign of kashrus like the nesher, would I have to tell you that it's forbidden? Elo, but rather, how do we go? As follows. Nesher de lesle klal hu de lo techo. The nesher, which is a type of bird that has no signs of kashrus, the Torah tells us don't eat that. Ha de isle chad echol. However, something that has one sign of kashrus, I am allowed to eat. At this point, the Gemara introduces a new question, and we have a Mivneh heading on the outside margin featuring the diamond that you see here. You'll see again a little bit later a diamond. Shnei Kushios. The Gemara will be raising two questions. Shemeshutof Lohem, common to both of these questions, Inyan Shel Shnei Ksuvim Haboyim Ke'echad. The principle of Shnei Ksuvim Haboyim Ke'echad will appear. So let's say a word about this concept before we learn the Gemara. Shnei ksuvim, two psukim, haboim keichod, that come to teach me the same thing. If you have a situation in the Torah where two examples, or two psukim, are taught, which end up teaching me the same thing, the Torah is in effect telling me that whatever those psukim are saying are limited to those two psukim, and I do not extrapolate from them and apply what they are saying to other topics. Because if the Torah wanted me to learn from those, it would have stated the point in only one pasuk and used that, and then I would learn just like the point is mentioned in this particular individual pasuk. I would then extrapolate and apply it to other things. However, when the Torah goes out of its way to repeat something, it's basically telling me that whatever point is under discussion, it's limited to these two cases, and that's it. That's called Shnei Ksuvim Haboyim Ke'echad. So we now continue in the Gemara. V'ela Taimo de Kosav Rachmona Nesher. The only reason, supposedly, the only reason that one simen is enough is because the Torah writes nesher, which has no signs of kashrus. If not for the nesher, would we in fact have learnt from the peres and osnia and concluded that one sign is not enough? I wouldn't have learned from Peres and Ozniyah. Havile Peres vi Ozniyah, Shnei Ksuvim Haboyim Ke'echad. The Peres and Ozniyah are two birds, each one having one sign of kashrus. And the Torah is basically telling me that one sign of kashrus is not good in the case of the Peres, and it repeats, it's not good in the case of Ozniyah. So you have two psukim that are telling me the same thing. And I would not extrapolate from them and make an application to something else. So it's not really so urgent that the Torah writes nesher in order to communicate the idea that one sign is enough. Had the Torah not written nesher and written Peres and Ozniyah, I would have simply said like this. I would have said, Peres and Ozniyah, it's true they have one sign, but only in those cases one sign is not enough, in the Peres and Ozniyah. However, any other bird, if there would be one sign of kashrus, I would be allowed to eat it. So the Gemara has to answer now, why does the Torah have to write nesher and not leave me with the Peres and Ozniyah cases. The Gemara answers, Gemiri, we have a tradition De'ika b'hai, leko b'hai, de'ika b'hai, leko b'hai. The signs of kashrus, or the singular sign of kashrus that the peres has, is not the same sign of kashrus that the oznia has. Since there is a difference between the two of them, they are not, in effect, shnei k'suvim ha'boim ke'echad. They're not coming to the same conclusion. They're not coming to teach me the same thing. Since there is a difference between them, they're not shnei k'suvim ha'boim ke'echad. And I would have, if not for the fact that the Torah writes nesher, I would have looked upon Peres and or Oznia and said, well, just like they have one sign of kashrus and they're forbidden, so too in general, one sign of kashrus is not sufficient. Therefore, the Torah has to write nesher as being the precedent setter and telling me that if something has zero signs of kashrus, then it's not acceptable. But if it has even one sign of kashrus, it's okay. The Gemara, though, asks again a question concerning shnei k'suvim haboyim ke'achad. Michti, esrim va'arbo oifos tameim havu. There are 24 birds that are tomei that are listed in the Torah. If you look between Parshas Shmini and Parshas Re'eh, you'll see there are 24 varieties mentioned between the two parshios. E efsher dechad deiko bahanoch leko bahani. It's impossible that the one sign of kashrus that you have, bahani means, is a reference of Peres and Oznia, that sign doesn't appear again amongst the other birds. The other birds, meaning we have another 22 birds. The hesitation in the numbers comes from, do you want to categorize the nesher amongst them or not? But for our purposes, it's in that order of magnitude. So the Gemara is pointing out that the singular sign of kashrus that you've got by the Peres or Oznia, you have probably got to find that same sign amongst the other birds that have multiple signs of kashrus. V'havelahu shnei k'suvim haboyim ke'echad. The simen that's in the Peres and Oznia, that singular sign of kashrus that you find by the Peres and Oznia, is inevitably going to repeat itself in the other birds. And once again, since you have a repetition of that particular sign of kashrus, it's telling me that one sign of kashrus in general would be good. Because, let's go over the point, the one sign of kashrus that you've got by the Peres and Oznia is probably repeated in one of those other birds, which we said that a number is in the order of magnitude of 22 other birds. You're going to find that same sign repeating itself somewhere else. As a result of that, the singular sign is essentially a shnei k'suvim haboyim ke'echad situation. And as such, I would say, in general, one sign is enough. And just in the case of these birds, where you see that one sign, it happens to be not enough. But in general, one sign of kashrus is enough. And the question comes back then, what do I need the nesher for? The Gemara answers a rather surprising answer. The surprising in the realm of statistics and numbers. Notice we have a long answer marking, so you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a tuff that's encircled with a vertical dashed line, indicating all of the lines of the Gemara till the second-to-last line are involved in answering this issue. Just to review the main point, and that is, why does the Torah have to write Nesher? In order to communicate the idea that one sign is enough, even had the Torah not written Nesher, I would have been able to learn that from the list of birds that the Torah mentions other than the Nesher.
The Gemara answers, Gemiri, we have a tradition. Esrim v'arbo'o oifois tameim havu. There are 24 unkosher types of birds. V'arbo'o simonim. And there are 4 signs that are characteristic of a kosher type bird. Tlosa hadri bekulhu. There are 3 of these 4 signs. 3 of them are found amongst all of the birds. Namely, 3, in the case of the orev, 2 of those 3. And the case of the peres, or osnia, we can't commit ourselves just yet, 1 of those 3. So the Gemara tells us, Esrim mehem shloisha shloisha. 20 of the 24 birds have 3 signs of kashrus. In fact, the 20 birds have the same 3 signs of kashrus. 3 of the 4, they have all 20 of those have the same 3 signs. Utre ba'orev. 2 of those 3 appear by the orev. Chad, 1 of those 3, beperes. V'chad ba'oznia, and the oznia has 1 sign of kashrus. Now, we're careful here in saying that it doesn't have 1 of those 3, but it has 1 sign of kashrus. What we just said for the oznia, we could have said for the peres. And now, the main point. The ise baha, lese baha. The sign of kashrus, that the singular sign of kashrus that you find by the oznia, you do not find by the peres. What have we just said? We've just said that of the 24 birds, 20 of them have the same 3 signs of kashrus. So we've put them aside. The orev has 2 of those 3 signs. We put that aside. That accounts for 21 birds. The peres and osnia are 22 and 23, and 24 is the nesher. But for right now, let's focus on the peres and osnia. One of these 2 birds, the peres and osnia, has a singular sign of kashrus. However, its singular sign did not appear amongst any of the other 22 birds. As a result of that, we can say it is different. And as a result of that, this is not a Shnei Ksuvim Haboyim Ke'echod situation. And as a result of that, Mahu Detema Leilif Minei. Since it's not Shnei Ksuvim Haboyim Ke'echod, since either the Peres or Osnia happens to have a unique sign of kashrus that none of the other birds have, I might have thought to learn from it and say, just like it, either the peres or osnia, which happens to have 1 sign of kashrus, the Torah says you cannot eat it, so to any other bird that has 1 sign of kashrus, that would be insufficient. So I would have thought to learn from that. Therefore, kosav rachmona nesher, the Torah had to write the nesher as being unacceptable, and with that we say, nesher deles leklal hu delo techol, the nesher which has no signs of kashrus, that you're not allowed to eat. Ha ika di isle chad echol. However, a bird that has 1 sign of kashrus, making it different from the nesher already, you are allowed to eat it. Elo turin de kosav rachmon olamali. If after all is said and done, 1 sign of kashrus is enough, why does the Torah bother telling me about torin? Torin is a type of bird that has 4 signs of kashrus. That certainly would be allowed. Omar Rav Ukva Bar Chamo, Lekorbon. The Torah writes the Torin as in order to teach me that they alone, the Torin and the Bnei Yonah, they alone are kosher, acceptable as a sacrifice, and no other bird. Even though there are other kosher variety birds, there are hundreds and maybe thousands of kosher variety birds. However, only the Torim and Bnei Yonah happen to be acceptable as a korban. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.